because of you.
There is St. Jude.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Welcome back, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. We were in the 4 o'clock hour here in the Pacific time zone. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Got lots of stuff to talk about. Going to dig deeper into the Reform California 2016 legalization language. A couple more things that I discovered that I didn't recognize the other day when I first mentioned it. Plus more about Ohio. We got to talk more Ohio. But first, we got something coming in here on the studio's flux capacitor. Stay tuned.
Stupid Prohibition Stories.
As a public service, the Russ Belleville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's Stupid Prohibition Stories.
With your Stupid Prohibition Stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. This just in from Austintown, Ohio. Township police were called to a home Friday night by a man who complained he was too high after smoking marijuana. According to a police report, authorities were called to the 100 block of Westminster Avenue at about 5:20 p.m. Friday by a 22-year-old male who had smoked the drug. The officer who responded to the home could hear the man groaning from a room. The officer then found the man lying on the floor in the fetal position and was surrounded by a plethora of Doritos, Pepperidge Farm Goldfish, and Chips Ahoy cookies, the report said. The man also told police he couldn't feel his hands. A glass pipe with marijuana residue, 2 packs of rolling papers, 2 roaches, and a glass jar of marijuana were recovered from the man's car after he gave the keys to police. The man declined medical treatment at his home Friday night. Austintown police have not charged the man in the incident as of late Monday morning. I'm Freddie Farrakh with your Stupid Prohibition! Stories! Man, I don't know about Freddie. I think Freddie's been listening to Paul Harvey for too long. Okay, so... 22-year-old guy can't handle his high. They found 2 roaches. They found a glass jar of marijuana and a glass pipe with marijuana and 2 packs of rolling papers. It's not like this guy. It doesn't sound like this guy was like doing, you know, dab rips, you know, 1 gram dabs or anything. So, dude,
You got to learn how to handle your high a little better than that. Oh, my goodness. And this, of course, in Ohio, as they're gearing up for the legalization drive. And it's frustrating, this Ohio thing, because there's so much to hate about it. You're right. I have to support legalization. I just do. I can never vote the same way as Kevin Sabet on a marijuana issue. I can never vote to continue to allow cops to fuck with stoners. I can't do it. I cannot do it. But man, sometimes I wish I could. This initiative, it's almost like the universe is conspiring against me. All right, let's see how fucked up an initiative we can come up with. Maybe we can get Radical Russ to trip on it. What do we got to do to really fuck this thing up? Let me see. Let's put together a marijuana superhero costume. That'll do it. That'll piss them off. And sure enough, it does. I don't know if you know this. The Ohio campaign's got that Buddy, the marijuana mascot, which is this male superhero with a female bud for a head. So already it's a hermaphrodite. I don't know what the hell's going on there. We got a caller calling in on the phone line, but it's a weird call here.
Proposal is designed to stop these unfair hiring practices and hold these companies accountable.
Okay, I'm getting a robo call here in the studio, I guess. But this Responsible Ohio thing comes out with this Buddy mascot, which is like, It's like strip mining Kevin Sabet's wet dreams to find the easiest thing he could attack. I mean, what's his number one talking point these days is, well, this marijuana industry, they're going to be Big Tobacco 2.0. Remember Joe Camel? And so what does Responsible Ohio do? They trot out the Joe Camel of marijuana. Why did you? And all of us in reform, and again, I would say, probably a minority of us in reform now are for this thing. I'm probably in the minority. I'll admit it. I don't know what kind of minority. Maybe it's 45% minority. I don't know. But among the high-profile online reformers I know, I might be in the minority. But all of us, I think, are in agreement of like, what the fuck with the whole Buddy thing? Like, there's... what is there to gain from it, right? I can see cost-benefit analysis. I can see saying, yeah, it'll piss off Kevin Sabet, but we'll gain so much more from it, right? But I don't see the upside. I don't see the upside. What? You need this to motivate young college people to know that legalization's on the ballot and to come out and vote for it? It's marijuana. You don't really need to sell marijuana that hard to the college-age kids. You know, you can just tell them it's on the ballot. You don't need this, right? It's not necessary. And it just gives our opponents something far too easy to attack. And sure enough, the evidence of that happened today at the Ohio State House at 2:00 Eastern time. Our guest yesterday, Garrett Greenlee, was there. And Dr. Sue Sisley was there, the only FDA-approved researcher for medical marijuana on vets with PTSD. They're there to announce a big press conference on something really serious. Like, no matter what you think about the people behind Responsible Ohio and the Issue 3, what these people aren't aligned with them. They're totally independent. They're researchers who found a way to use this initiative to lease a 15 acres off of one of these marijuana farms, constitutionally protected, to set up a $24 million research facility for this woman to do her research and for others to do research on marijuana that would have the best protection federally and state of any place you could set this up. Like, a dream for vets with PTSD, a dream for all of us that are looking for better, more scientific backing for our arguments for medical marijuana. A big, serious, public to-do event. And the opponents of Issue 3, Ohioans Against Marijuana Monopolies, had somebody show up. Now, to be honest, from the reports I've seen, we don't know who had this guy show up. Maybe this is just some kook on his own. But anyway, they have a guy show up in a stoned-ass pot leaf costume, right? One of the big anthropomorphic leaves with the hyper-exaggerated bloodshot eyes, carrying a big old 4-foot bong with him, showing up to this serious thing. Now, maybe that happens regardless of whether or not there was a Buddy the mascot. Maybe that happened from some random guy and has nothing to do with the opponents of Issue 3. But I got to think that had the Buddy the Mascot not existed, that response doesn't make as much sense and isn't as likely to happen. And thus you don't have a very serious press conference for a very serious researcher being hijacked by the hijinks of some wackaloon in a pot leaf costume trying to make it all look bad. So, man, like I said, sometimes I really wish I could be against this thing. But I can't. I can't. I cannot ever, ever turn to a cancer patient, an epileptic child, someone with multiple sclerosis and say, no, sorry, we have to wait another year because the business model just isn't good enough.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
You're listening to 420radio.org.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Cannabis culture goes way back, you dig? Way before hippies and beatniks and pigs. Back to hep cats like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway. Soulful dames like Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. All the way to old Blue Eyes and the Rat Pack. So come spark up a jazz cigarette and take a trip back to when marijuana was jive, muggles, reefer, and tea. It's the new Viper Hour, daddy-o, see? The early 20th century archives of blues, jazz, and swing that define the cannabis culture and everything. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. and weekends at 1 a.m. Pacific on 420radio.org, the home for marijuana music. Yeah.
No, no, they can't take that away from me.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Oh my, it's definitely Electric Tuesday. That's music from Lone with The Birds Don't Fly This High. Man, I'm so high, I'm hiring God. God's like, man, you can't be hiring me. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Having a good day today. Nice day here in beautiful Potland, Oregon. Reading up folks in the chat room on 420radio.org. Nice to see Mike Harris out there. Speed Limit in the chat room. John Thomas as well. Brian Kerr from Canada. And Hi in Hawaii, who's tripping right now. So Hi in Hawaii, since you're tripping, I decided we would do something to enhance your trip.
Everybody, having a good day
Do
today.
You feel like you're tripping now?
Stay here in beautiful
Is it getting crazy?
Reading up folks
Are you
in the
hearing
chat
lots
room
of voices? Voices?
Nice
Is it a lot of voices that you're hearing?
Speed limit in the chat
now
room.
That you're tripping?
John Thomas as well.
It's really Ryan crazy Kerr, high Canada, in Hawaii. It's almost like multiple
Hawaii,
people are talking at the same time.
Right now.
So, and they're talking over in your Hawaii, right ear,
you're tripping,
and then over in your left ear.
Do something.
Is that trippy or what?
Your trip. Having a good day
do
today.
You feel like you're tripping now?
Stay here in
is it getting crazy?
Are you hearing lots of voices?
All right, that's enough of that. I like to have fun with the live listeners every now and then. But yeah, we're talking about in the chat room, we've been talking about the Reform California proposal. And I wanted to bring that up because I've been doing some more in-depth reading on it. But before I get too deep into this, let me just say as a disclaimer that I don't have the strongest expertise on all of the city and county bans and the SB 420 and all of the California court decisions that have affected this or affirmed that. So I do have to plead some level of ignorance on the strong, because California is a high class clusterfuck as far as the medical laws go and the marijuana laws go. And in fact, as John Oliver said the other day, that would be an insult to clusterfucks, because at least someone gets off in a clusterfuck. This is more like a cluster dry hump, as John Oliver put it. But anyway, it's chat room's reacting. Don't stop. You are evil. But this this Reform California thing, from everything I can read about it, man, looks like really good legalization. Really good. In fact, some ways I think it's better than Oregon's. And one way in which it's definitely better than Washington and Colorado, and even better than Oregon at this point, is something that's found in its section 26007 that says the sole standard to be used in determining if someone is too high to drive is that he or she is no longer able to drive a vehicle with the caution of a sober person. That means that arguing about the inactive metabolites in the pee or the active THC in the blood by itself can't secure a DUI conviction without showing that that meant you couldn't drive as cautiously as a reasonably sober person. So basically saying that we're going to stick with impairment as a standard. We're actually going to have to prove that you were too impaired to drive the car at the time. What a remarkable idea that is. What a great idea. Love that. So that's one of the big things in the Reform California initiative that caught my eye. And another that caught my eye later on was how it's protected from the legislature monkeying around with it. Now, in Oregon, our legislature monkeyed around with our initiative quite a bit. Although mostly for the good. And in Colorado, they couldn't because it was an amendment. And in Washington, they couldn't because their legislature was forbidden from tampering with it without a two-thirds majority for 2 years based on the way the Washington Constitution works. This Reform CA will require a 60% vote in both houses of the California legislature and a signature by the governor to make any changes to legalization in California.
You're really clouding the energy in this room right now.
Yeah, let's cloud this room just a little bit. It's 420 here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. We got the strong silicone glow-in-the-dark 14-inch bong ready to go. High in Hawaii is enjoying his trip. And we will be right back with some Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tunes, followed by more on Reform California. Plus your calls at 84-420 Radio.
You're tuned in to 420radio.org. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, time for some Daily Toker Tunes here for our Electric Tuesday. Electric Bob is down in Phoenix, Arizona, and I think he's melted because he hasn't called in for the break today, but hope he's staying out of the heat down there. Should be getting a little bit cooler as we move our way into fall. But he's got a great record label that he's put together featuring some of these new up-and-coming electronic artists. It's from Dark Till Dawn Records, and you can check that out online. He's getting a lot of response on that, turning out all sorts of great new tunes, including this next one. And I'm not exactly sure if this is one that comes from his record label or not. It's always something new that he's got coming up, but I don't know if this is from his label. And make sure you stay tuned later tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time, for Electric Bob's Boogaloo, the 1 hour nonstop mix of Electric Bob's tunes. But coming up now, we've got Unique 3 with Wait for the Bass.
You're listening to 420radio.org, your 24-hour cannabis community radio.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for Weeds Day Wednesday, podcasting at blogtalkradio.com. A live medical cannabis radio show with interviews, news, strain reviews, product reviews, and information about anything and everything medical marijuana. Check our online listings for Weeds Day Wednesday with Tumbleweeds Health Center from blogtalkradio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Welcome back, everybody. That's B6 with Blind leading the Blist. Okay. Hey, I don't have to get all the music that I play. I'm just trying to be diverse. It's Toker Talk Radio, and been going around in the chat room checking out questions about the Reform CA proposed 2016 initiative, which is the being co-proposed by Dale Sky Jones, the chancellor of Oaksterdam University, and the woman who was the spokesperson for the Prop 19 campaign back in 2010, and Ms. Alice Huffman, the president of the California NAACP and a member of the National NAACP board. That's great news, by the way, to know that she's on board with this and going to be vocally proposing it. And there were some things that I didn't catch in my first couple of read-throughs when I did this just yesterday when the news broke. And today I wrote a longer article for marijuanapolitics.com entitled 16 Facts to Know About Reform California's 2016 California Marijuana Legalization. It's really more like 29 facts, but I'd use some sub-points to get it into 16 because there's a lot of stuff this would do. But wanted to point out some other things that I hadn't thought of that this will accomplish. And one of them is the DUI provisions. Now, in Oregon, when we passed ours, we said we didn't add any per se DUID. Okay, Washington did when they passed theirs. They have a 5 nanogram per se DUID that's complete junk science. Colorado didn't have one in their amendment, but then their legislature had been trying to pass a bill like 5-6 times and finally got it passed the last time they tried. So they have a presumptive inference at 5 nanograms, which just means that if we detect more than 5 nanograms, we can assume you were high, too high to drive, but you can try to prove that you weren't. The per se, that one in Washington State says, we find 5 nanograms, you're guilty, you were too high to drive. And it doesn't matter how good a driver you are. Well, in Oregon, we didn't put any per se in ours. We did direct our legislature and our liquor control board to have some funds to study impairment and to make recommendations to the legislature by 2017. So we're going to take a look at it, but we haven't changed it. Now, that's kind of a push, right? We didn't make it any better, but we didn't make it any worse. Kind of pushed it a little. Alaska also didn't come up with any sort of per se DUID language. This California initiative says specifically that the sole standard to be used in determining if someone is too high to drive is that, quote, he or she is no longer able to drive a vehicle with the caution of a sober person. So this actually improves the current California statutes, because the sole standard, meaning this is the only way that you can prove someone was too high to drive, is if they were too high to drive, is if you can show they could not drive. Currently, under California law, there's many standards that can be combined. Like, we can put in your metabolite level. We can enter your active THC level, and those can influence and determine, help to determine whether or not you get that DUID. Now, those will be useless. Those won't be much of a factor, because the sole standard is whether or not they could not operate the vehicle with the caution of a sober person. So that's great news for cannabis consumers, to make sure that, yes, we do hold people to account if they're being reckless, if they're driving when they're too impaired by cannabis. But one of the things we have to understand is that it's not a binary thing here where, like, any cannabis use makes you unfit to drive. And as a society, we understand this with alcohol. Even the fact that we have a nationwide, in all 50 states, 0.08 blood alcohol content for alcohol that says after 0.08, you're guaranteed too drunk to drive. The existence of that tells us that below 0.08, you might be okay to drive. As a society, we've accepted that a little bit of alcohol impairment is okay. And we can show studies that show alcohol impairment even as low at 0.02 blood alcohol, and definitely by 0.05. But we don't automatically convict people of DUI for those levels. Now, those levels can be used in court. You've seen those signs, you know, buzzed driving is drunk driving, right? Where they say even a little bit, you know, if they can show that you were weaving and were a big risk, that 0.05 can get you a drunk driving conviction, but not automatically. So as a society, we've kind of accepted that there's some level of impairment that's okay. We've accepted that with some level of prescription drugs. We've got prescription drugs that on the label say, until you know how prescription fuck-it-all will affect you, do not drive or operate heavy machinery. Which tells us logically that once you do figure out how prescription fuck it all works, go ahead and drive. As long as you've figured out your high, as long as you've figured out how it affects you, as long as you got a tolerance, you're good. And I'm not just making up prescription fuck it all. That's the actual label description on driving that you'll find on a bottle of Marinol, synthetic THC. All right? So our federal government, which recognizes Marinol, synthetic pure THC with no CBD to counteract the psychoactive effects, is a drug for which people who are prescribed it can develop a tolerance enough that, hey, go ahead and drive once you know how it affects you. Then I can't get too worked up about this worry about the stone drivers. So kudos to California on that for coming up with, you know, this sole standard language. Another thing that's really nice about this California language, and it's in what it doesn't say, because when I went through this the other day, I'm telling you all the stuff that is written down in the initiative, but what it doesn't do is create any vertical integration or tied house provisions. And in business speak, what we're talking about here is you can have any of the licenses. Like when Colorado started, if you wanted to be a retailer, you had to grow 70% of what you retailed. In Washington State, you couldn't be both a grower and a retailer. You had to be separated. Not in California. They're going to let you have, like Oregon, any license you want to have, multiple licenses, as long as you qualify, then you can have it all. You can be the Walmart one-stop shopping of weed, or you can just set up and be a extract maker, if that's your gig. So no prohibition on vertical integration. The only exception is for testing licenses. And that kind of makes sense, right? You don't want to be the guy who's the grower and you're testing your own grow, right? That's not fair. So that makes sense. The testing would have a limitation on it. Other things that you'll find in this Reform CA that are pretty cool. I love the fact, and this is one I didn't highlight in previous talks about this, marijuana lounges. That's right, folks. California's Reform CA has kind of quietly, without pointing it out too boldly to scare the people, has come up with a way to have marijuana lounges. See, in section 26011B, adults are allowed to consume marijuana at a private, quote, residence or other such other location as permitted under this act. So you can smoke pot at a residence, a private residence, or other locations that the law allows. Well, what other locations could the law allow? If you look deeper, section 26029, paragraph A, subparagraph 3, it tells us that the Cannabis Commission can place, quote, reasonable conditions upon any cannabis license for governing on-site consumption at licensed retail facilities. Well, if you've got the power to have conditions imposed on such a thing, that means such a thing can exist. On-site consumption at licensed retail facilities. California could have coffee shops in its law written into it. Now that's a big win. A big, big win, because that's something that's not even worked out in Colorado, Washington, Oregon, or Alaska. Having on-site consumption at licensed retail facilities. Now, I had some questions in the chat room about local control. Now, as I mentioned, California's marijuana scene has only just like this past couple of months gotten any regulation statewide. And a lot of people hate these new statewide regulations, I hear. But up until now, after 1996, when California passed medical marijuana, the legislature pretty much punted on coming up with any statewide regulation for it. They eventually came up with Senate Bill 420. Yes, that was its real number, SB 420, that set down some guidelines, and the Attorney General guidelines at the time, Jerry Brown, who was the Attorney General, now he's the governor. But it is such a hodgepodge from county to county and city to city, depending on this ordinance and this moratorium and this ban and that ban and this court decision and that court decision for this district or that district. Oh my God, California marijuana. If there's an expert in it, I bow to him, because there's so much you'd have to know to keep track of all this stuff. So in our chat room, we had this question about, well, what about all these cultivation bans like in Fresno and all these decisions that say you can't grow and this or that? Since this Reform California thing doesn't overturn the health and safety code that has to do with medical marijuana, and specifically says it doesn't affect the current decisions, then do those bans still remain? Does that still exist? Well, we're going to take a look at that in our next segment, the local control section of the Reform California citizen initiative to legalize marijuana in California for 2016. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. This is Toker Talk Radio.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
let's see, the cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes, but look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes, yes, yes to all of that, but I can smell pot from my backyard, and I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
This is 420radio.org, your 24-hour cannabis community radio. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 48 after the hour. That's music from Tangram with Pandora Connection. Tangram sounds like an app for a suntan, doesn't it? We were talking about the Reform California proposal for legalization in 2016, and Mike in our chat room is making a lot of points about local control and says that the local control section in this allows them to ban just about everything. And I'm not reading it that way, Mike. I'm not seeing it. Let me go to the actual language here in their ballot initiative. And they're taking feedback on this, Mike. So go to reformca.com/2016 and you can actually put in a comment for regulation, protecting patients, taxation, criminal justice. You can put in a comment for this to leave some feedback if you like. But as I read this initiative, I think it looks pretty good on the local control front. Here's what it is. Article 7, local control. Section 26035, paragraph A. Cities and counties may restrict or prohibit the commercial cultivation, manufacture, distribution, and sale of cannabis and cannabis products. That's our first clause. Okay, so there is local control on commercial pot shops, grows, etc. And, you know, I that's something we're seeing in all of the legalizations, is this ability for the locals, especially when we're talking about more conservative areas, more rural areas, to be able to not have pot shops in their downtown and not have big grows and all that. So it's kind of standard. It's kind of what's already happening. But that's commercial. We're talking about recreational pot shop kind of stuff. Next clause says, however, any prohibitions on the cultivation, manufacture, distribution, and sale of medical cannabis and medical cannabis products must be approved by a majority of voters residing in such cities or counties. So they can go right out and restrict or ban commercial recreational pot. They can go out and restrict and prohibit medical pot, but that has to go to a referendum of the people. And I'm not sure about California, but I think that puts you in a better position than you have been in. Because I think up to this time, the cities or counties could just ban this stuff without having a public vote. Furthermore, in paragraph A, No city or county may ban the delivery by licensed providers of medical cannabis to qualified patients for their personal medical use. So it legalizes delivery systems. So even if you're living in a place that's going to vote for this sort of ban, at least you can get a delivery. Now, paragraph B, says, notwithstanding the foregoing, meaning just because of paragraph A, pay no attention to paragraph A, cities and counties shall not prohibit a person from cultivation of homegrown cannabis or from possessing, transporting, or using any cannabis or cannabis products where such activity is in compliance with this act. Cities and counties can't ban your personal home grow and personal possession. Now, keep in mind that your personal home grow under this act is a 10 by 10 garden, and you may possess the results of the harvest from that garden. How does that not protect a patient in Fresno, California more than what he's got now, where cultivation is completely banned? Even for medical. With this paragraph B, let them ban medical grows. Let them ban commercial grows, because at the home grow level, you'll still be able to have a 10 by 10 garden and all the weed you can grow from it. And that's a better protection for patients in some of these areas than in a lot of these areas than what they've got now. The rest of the local control says, paragraph C, cities and counties can restrict or prohibit the use of cannabis or cannabis products in any public area, and the right to restrict or prohibit on-site consumption at licensed facilities open to the public. So, yes, a city or county could ban a pot lounge. They could allow there to be pot shops, but not let there be pot lounges. And again, that local control is something that, you know, you're just going to find in politics these days. And cities and counties may adopt reasonable regulations on the location and operating hours of licensed adult use retail outlets. Whenever you see the word reasonable in legislation, that means lawsuits will decide what reasonable means, okay? So I don't know. I think this looks like a pretty good initiative as far as the whole local California thing. Brian Kerr asks, is the garden 10 by 10 or 100 square feet? It's 100 square feet. You could have a 1 foot by 100 foot garden if you want. And Mike is bringing up the Morrill case. Morrill versus Live Oak prohibits home grows even in the house. Both Riverside Health and Wellness and Riverside Morrill versus Live Oak codify this. Well, again, I can't speak to which of these, you know, is the court decision based on laws that existed going to override what this new law provides? Because if I'm not mistaken, these cases you're referring to, Live Oak and the other case, referred to medical growers. Wouldn't they have to? Because home growing is not legal. So if you've got court cases that say a city or county can ban the home growing of medical marijuana, and then a new law comes up and says that it's legal to grow recreational marijuana, this is a case where that false distinction might actually work in our favor. Maybe the Live Oak case stays as precedent and says, yep, cities and counties, you can absolutely ban medical marijuana. And then this new law comes into effect that says cities and counties, you absolutely cannot ban the home growing of marijuana. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not enough of a California expert or lawyer to give you the right answer on that, but I'm leaning toward this is going to expand the rights of medical marijuana patients. Now, maybe it doesn't. Maybe Mike's right on this. Maybe these court cases stay and places like Fresno, you're still not going to be able to grow. Well, then it's no worse than it already is. It's not getting any worse, right? Why not throw this at them and see if we can get some favorable decisions? I really think that this passing, getting on the ballot and passing in California is going to be positive in almost every way I can see. Yeah, there's more things I'd like. I'd like it to have, you know, employment protection for recreational consumers, but at least it creates employment protection for medical patients. You know, I'd like to see the organ transplant protection for all consumers. California passed that for medical consumers already as a law earlier this year. But there's no reason someone who's a recreational pot smoker should be kicked off an organ transplant list. That's not fair. There could be more. There could always be more. It could always be better. But this Reform CA thing, far more expansive than I thought it would be. Not only is it legalizing an ounce or less, but it's pretty much decriminalizing up to a pound in almost all the typical possession sort of situations. We're talking infractions with $500 fines rather than misdemeanors and criminal records. And speaking of those criminal records, it's going to provide a way to get your previous criminal record destroyed, you know, and it's going to provide a way to, if you're currently on probation, to be able to get your probation reduced or ended based on what the law is now. And if you're under these requirements that you have to register, like because you broke a marijuana law, that registration requirement can be done away with. So, you know, that's great stuff. And something else that I picked up from rereading this and writing the article that I didn't make clear yesterday. We talked about how individuals have the right to grow a 10 by 10 garden. Nothing about this says it has to be a 10 by 10 garden at your house, or that multiple people couldn't collectively add up their 10 by 10s to make bigger gardens. In other words, not only would we have the right to cultivate individually, but we could cultivate collectively. Now, when I first thought of this, I thought, let's be sure. Because according to section 26011C, it says adults are allowed to cultivate up to a 100 square foot garden and possess all the marijuana that garden produces. There's another section, 26027, and this is in the section where they talk about making marijuana licenses, you know, grow licenses, production licenses, and so on. And it says that marijuana licensing shall not infringe on the rights of cultivation of homegrown cannabis individually or collectively. So they've put out there that there is a right to collectively cultivate homegrown cannabis. Good times if California passes this, folks. I got four adults living in a house. We can have a 20 by 20 garden and possess all the marijuana that it creates. Oh, that's a great time to be alive, isn't it? But that's all the time we got today, because time flies when you legalize. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.